Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Suja Nawaz, who is the author of Cross Swords, Pakistan, Its Army, and the Wars Within. Suja Nawaz is a native of Pakistan who has worked as a journalist, a television producer, and a political and strategic analyst. He's also worked for the World Health Organization and was a director at the International Atomic Energy Agency in Vienna. He is currently the director of the South Asia Center at the Atlantic Council. Welcome to Background Briefing, Suja Nawaz.
Thank you, Ian. Good to be with you again.
Good to talk to you again, Suja. And the peace talks underway now between the Pakistan government and Pakistani Taliban, a nominated team being held in Islamabad, are themselves something of a surprise. They've been initiated by Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif, but I take it the army has not been particularly thrilled with this development.
Well, it's not clear if they've been thrilled or not, but certainly the army has been talking with Prime Minister Sharif and looking at their various options. It seems obvious to me that the government is trying to begin the talks with a view to seeing if they can yield any results. Frankly, I doubt that they will. They may end up using the failure of the talks to actually launch a military operation, which has been long planned and long awaited in North Waziristan. We don't know if the new military chief, General Rahil Sharif, is going to follow through on that, but his recent response to an attack on the military by the militants was quite rapid, and so it may be an opportunity for him to make a change from the previous policy of his predecessor.
Well, apparently, there have been more than 100 people killed, including a lot of soldiers, from Taliban attacks across the country just in January alone, and thousands have been killed since the Pakistani Taliban came into focus, I guess, in about 2007. So what's your sense, since you've studied the Pakistan army, what is there? Is this an affront to them? I mean, one of the old sort of jokes about Pakistan, if you will, is that it's not a country with an army so much as an army with a country. So is this a thorn in their side, the notion that you have this kind of challenge from within the country itself?
Yes, I think it is. And you are quite right. The military has suffered direct casualties. In my own recent look at just North Waziristan alone, in the last 2 years, they've had 270 casualties, of which something like 90-odd were killed. So there are losses that have been directly suffered by them, largely because of their generally passive posture, which one general described to me as a sitzkrieg. They've been basically in camps, not out on active patrolling. And the Taliban have hit them and have killed their people. So there is some anger and disquiet among the lower-level commanders, and I'm sure the new army chief will be responding to their concerns. But I think at a bigger political level, with the change of government, a new prime minister who has a pretty strong position in parliament, he has an opportunity to shape public opinion at home. And one way that he may be thinking he can do it is by opening the possibility of talks with the Tehrik-e-Taliban of Pakistan, the TTP. And if the talks fail, then to follow through with a military option. However, two things are missing. One, there hasn't been an active public engagement on this issue and no public debate. And number two, it's not clear whether there is a combined civil-military plan for a post-military operation in Fatah particularly. Without that, this will be just another clearing operation and the militants will disappear into other agencies, into other parts of the country, and then regroup whenever they feel like it. The only targets that are likely to remain are going to be the Arabs or the Chechens or the Uzbeks or the Uyghurs, who don't have any place to go to.
So, Suja Nawaz, what do they represent, the TTP? I mean, what is their agenda? What are they asking the country for? And because my understanding is they're not, they may have some traction within the areas bordering on Afghanistan, but in the rest of the country, I don't think there's a lot of respect for them, to say the least.
Well, in the very, very first round of talks that took place today, it was proposed by the government that the talks should be confined to the troubled areas of North and South Waziristan. So this is really not about even all of Fatah or all of Pakistan. But you're right, the TTP, the Pakistani Taliban, have basically a very simple aim. They want to establish an Islamic emirate in that territory first, and then in the province of Khyber Pakhtunkhwa, which is formerly the Northwest Frontier Province, and then in the whole country. They don't have the political base for doing that, so they're going to use whatever leverage they can to get local control and advantage. The government cannot afford to give them this objective, and so the talks are not likely to be very fruitful, in my view.
So this sounds a little bit like megalomania on their part. Is it simply that they are, by definition, religious fundamentalists who are absolutists, that there's no nuance, there's no compromise? I mean, it sounds a little bit vainglorious, doesn't it, that you can eventually end up with your kind of Islamic state in this country?
Well, their support base is largely uneducated, very backward, in a very backward area of the country. So it's not surprising that they've taken this very simple approach that people can understand. This is not an approach that will go down very favorably in the urban environment in Pakistan or among the educated people of Pakistan. And they certainly know that, so they're trying for maximum local advantage. There is another issue which is worth looking at, and that is that the traditional TTP leadership came from South Waziristan, from the Masood tribe. So the first leader was Baitullah Masood. He was succeeded by Hakimullah Masood. Both of them fell to drone attacks. And then after an interregnum with a temporary leader, Mullah Fazlullah, who was from Swat, a region which is quite distant from Fatah, became the leader of the TTP. Now, he is not even known to be in Pakistan. Last sightings report him to be across the border in the Kunar province of Afghanistan. So there is probably a rift developing between the traditional leadership of the Masood, who were ejected from South Waziristan after the military operation, and the new leadership of the TTP. So it could well be that the Masood are willing to make some kind of a deal that allows them to go back to their home in South Waziristan. And then we'll see what Mullah Fazlullah says. For a man who worked under the name of Mullah Radio, because he was very adept at using radio propaganda in Swat and Malakand, he has been awfully quiet for the last few weeks. So we don't even know where he stands on the talks.
But hasn't there been, in the areas where the Pakistani Taliban, the TP, have been active, they have turned a lot of their violence towards, particularly in the Swat, towards the Sufi and towards Sufi shrines. There's also been some hideous attacks on the Shiite minority. I recall the cricket star Imran Khan, who's also was running in the recent elections and has some kind of a constituency there. He was the most sympathetic to the militants, and he was very, very, there was tremendous backlash against him. So give me a sense of, you know, what their priorities are, if indeed they appear to be going after fellow Islamists first.
They do, because they have a very rigid view, and they're also not very good at preparing the ground with their so-called allies, which was evident in the lead-up to these talks with the government. They named a group to represent them, and two members of that group, one Imran Khan, the former cricket player turned politician, and the other Maulana Fazlur Rahman of the Jamiat-e-Ulema-Islam Party, both said that they weren't consulted about it, and they basically said they wouldn't participate. So clearly, they don't have that level of sophistication in political discourse, and neither do they have the support of people in the cities, which is what they will need if they are going to get any political traction.
Well, one of the things I find puzzling about the idea that you have a Pakistan Taliban and then you have the Afghanistan Taliban is that the Pakistan government, and particularly the army, we understand, and the Army Intelligence Service, the ISI, have sort of been supporting the Afghan Taliban as a hedge or as a means to have leverage in whatever government ends up in Afghanistan. But one of the analysts I spoke with the other day, former head of the State Department's Intelligence Bureau on Pakistan, was saying that the Pakistani government is now coming to realize that a radical regime in Afghanistan, a radical Taliban regime in Afghanistan, would in fact blow back on Pakistan and destabilize Pakistan. So what is the relationship between these two Talibans? And it seems like, on the one hand, the Pakistan government's negotiating with its own Taliban, but leery of this kind of monster that is created, if you will, in Afghanistan.
Well, I think the analyst from the Department of State was quite right. The Pakistanis have realized that there is a very real danger if the Taliban were to come to power in Afghanistan, and particularly if they take Kabul and the central government, because either that or if they control the border region with Pakistan, there will be the possibility of what I call reverse sanctuary. So the Pakistani Taliban and other militant groups, including the Punjabi Taliban, could then use Afghanistan as a sanctuary to continue their battle against the state. And there have been links between the two Taliban. They haven't been particularly strong, but the TTP has sworn allegiance to the Mullah Omar, the leader of the Afghan Taliban. And so I think that's what worries the Pakistanis. There's also the reality that neither the Pakistanis nor the Afghans alone can seal the border. So they're going to have to work very closely together once the coalition forces depart to try and make sure that they can disrupt any movement which is antithetical to the aims of both states. I think for once, Afghanistan and Pakistan are on the same page. The old linkages between the Pakistani intelligence and the Taliban are perhaps not as strong as they once were. And in any case, even if the links are there, I think the control is much less evident. The Afghan Taliban are a fairly independent bunch, which is why you're hearing stories of some Afghan Taliban members being held in Pakistani custody and not being fully released to go and participate in reconciliation talks in Afghanistan.
Well, Sujan Nawaz, I thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Not at all. Thank you for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with Sujan Nawaz, who's the author of Cross Swords, Pakistan, Its Army, and the Wars Within. Sujan Nawaz is a native of Pakistan who has worked as a journalist, a television producer, and a political and strategic analyst. He's also worked for the World Health Organization and was a director at the International Atomic Energy Agency in Vienna. He is currently the director of the South Asia Center at the Atlantic Council. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll come back with a profile on New Jersey's controversial and embattled governor.